Carragher now is going to talk to us about demon work.
Okay. So I'm going to talk about Padmasambhava as transformation. But I just want to say that I'm going to be talking about demons. I'm going to be saying the word demon a whole lot. You'll be tired of it by the end. But when I'm talking about in the context of demons, I'm talking about the context of this weekend. So in a way, we can, I think I have in the past when doing sort of some inner work and stuff and relating this to this idea of demons got a little bit psychological. But the, I'm talking about it in the context of myth, symbolism, mantra, the Dharmanya or the transcendental, Padmasambhava, the goal. So I'm talking about it in the context of the weekend. I just want to sort of say that first. So, so Padmasambhava represents the ability of the three jewels to transform what's deepest within us. That's, I think that was the main thing that Bhante Sangharakshita said about transformation. It's about Padmasambhava, so he represents transforming what's the deepest within us. So what is it that we are transforming? So we're transforming these sort of deep, what you'd call primal forces within us that have a significant hold over our experience and will basically get in the way and be an obstruction to our Dharma practice to moving forward. So I'm going to be talking about these sort of deep forces in terms of demons. I'm going to make 5 points. So I'm going to talk about locating your demons, where to look for signs of demonic activity, being realistic about what your demons are, not discarding your demons, and seeing the true nature of the demon. That sounds very good, doesn't it? Probably feel like I just like to sit down now and let you work it all out. and I'll be giving a little bit of example for each of them from my personal experience. Okay. So firstly, locating your demons. So how do we contact these strong, primal, fierce, stubborn forces within us? It's really easy. It's really easy. Do what you're doing now. Practice the Dharma. That's it. I'm going to say more, but I don't really need to. Just practice the Dharma. As long as you have a willingness to understand the truth and change our experience in relationship to that, we'll come across obstacles to that direction. We'll come across obstacles to Dharma practice. You all know what I'm talking about. That's just going to happen. So we don't have to look very far to locate the demons. I'm sure some of you, I know I have experienced it on this weekend. We're here with lots of weird other blokes. And it's quite a specific context. And that can, you know, particularly if it's your first time, I remember the first few times I came to Padmalaka, it provoked certain mental states and so on. So it was only when the Dharma entered Tibet that these strong primal forces really sort of showed themselves and started working. It was when Padmasambhava brought the Dharma to Tibet, so to the land of the demons in a way. That's when these beings sort of showed themselves, because they were provoked by the Dharma, they were provoked by the truth as represented by Padmasambhava. And that's where you get all this kind of, you know, these sort of... Yeah, these fantastic sort of different communications with Padmasambhava. I suppose actually they came a bit earlier when Shantarakshita sort of appeared, but it was still, you know, the Dharma in a way. But of course he was kind of bowled over by them. So that's the first point. Locate your demons. When I started practicing the Dharma, and still now I just constantly come up with the demon of self-doubt. That's a sort of big one for me, which I keep bashing up against. I still don't know if I've got a way of working with it on a certain level. I kind of have. Okay, point two, where to look for signs of demonic activity. So this is learning to look for where there's energy. So where there's deep, Vidanya mentioned this yesterday, and we were talking about it a bit in our study group. Learn to look for where there's deep resistance. But particularly noting that there's energy there. I was witness to a beautiful little communication not too long ago between two friends. One of them was talking about being on a solitary retreat, and he said some stuff came up for him, and you could see him twitching and trying to move away from what he was saying. He said some stuff came up for him, and my other friend said, "Well, what was it?" And he said, "Oh, I don't want to talk." And he said, "Well, what was it?" I mean, this was just casual. We were sitting outside in Prague. No, it wasn't Prague. Was it Krakow? I always get two mixed up. We're in Krakow, but this guy said that he'd been on a solitary retreat, and this image came up of him hanging dead. He said this image came up in meditation. It kept coming up, and you could see he was just like, he was trying to get away from his own thoughts and his own heart. And my friend just said to him, he said, "That's where the work is, right there." Because you could see there was energy, there was real energy involved in what he was talking about, this resistance to this demon, this fear. So it was right there. That's the point there. And it's when you can contact this real fear that sort of turns your heart cold, that's where the energy is. That's where the work to be done. It's almost like with the fire last night. That's where the flames of transformation are there to be ignited, where there's those real deep fears. I've sort of got a fear, on a certain level, I've got a fear of not making significant spiritual progress in this life. But underneath that, there's just a fear of dying and my life being pointless, actually. And that's a real fear for me, which is, you know, call it nihilism, call it whatever you sort of want, anyway. I've got another deep fear of, I've got type 1 diabetes. So I've had it since I was 6 years old. My parents, I think, were trying to help me when I was younger, but they kept reminding me that you can get complications with this condition. One of them was heart failure, blindness, kidney failure. If you don't look after your feet, you'll get them chopped off because they've got gangrene. So if I think about my feet and losing a foot, I can feel that now. It's like, shit, I don't want to do that. You know, it feels really painful. So for me, I know that. But when I think about it, there's so much energy there. It's like, oh. That's where the energy is caught up. So it's learning to look, spotting the demons, is learning to look for where energy is caught up. And it doesn't have to be, you know, bright, lovely kind of, it's often sort of difficult, you know, difficult responses. That's where the energy is. Okay. So the next point follows on from that. So be realistic about what your demons are. So this is a bit in the idea of sort of naming the demons in a way. So don't get any sort of fancy ideas about strong resistance looking in a particular way. I think I always had an idea of strong resistance being very heroic, and there's something, you know, beautiful about my darker side, particularly when I was a teenager and in my sort of 20s. There's something fascinating and interesting about me because I had all this sort of darkness and just ridiculous. But I thought transforming the depths would be this hot, passionate kind of dance with Padmasambhava, but it's not like that at all. It's come up in the experience of humiliation, jealousy, envy. When Vidikaya said he'd been on the Eros and Beauty retreat, I went, "Oh, you sod! I really wanted to go on that retreat, and I wasn't able to." But there you go. I just thought, "Oh, that's what." It's just like, but you know, not so much of this dramatic dance. It's like, you know, jealousy, envy. And experiencing myself sort of time and time again as being like a little worm in relationship to other people. I don't even know what that is, but that's my experience a lot. And I get it on the Mitra Conveners meeting. For some reason, I just feel like a little bit of a maggot sometimes in relationship to people who I think are sort of pretty solid and stuff like that. So it's being specific. It's noting, this is what's going on. This is what's going on for me. And be, you know, getting into a dialogue with that, as in just recognizing specifically what they look like and not having any sort of fancy ideas about it in a way. So the next point, don't discard your demons when you find them and have named them. Don't try and work against these troublesome forces, because you just won't be able to. You won't be able to discard them. What I mean by that is, you can change the way they work. There's a lot of energy behind them, and you can change the way that that energy manifests. And this is Padmasambhava in particular, changing how that energy manifests. Is it jealousy or envy? Or is it, you know, is it something, you know, how can we sort of transform that into something where we, you know, we don't lose any of that energy? But I mean, my experience has been over the years, I'm not half as mental as I used to be. And, but I don't know where a lot of my demons have gone. But all I can say is that my Dharma practice is a lot more solid. So it's almost like you don't know what they're going to look like when you transform them. But I've definitely got a confidence that they turn into something. I can't say what anyway. So Padmasambhava, when he was working with these forces and sort of spirits of Tibet, you know, he didn't just try and annihilate them. He didn't just try and kind of get rid of them. He worked with them. He transformed them. And if we try and sort of block them, it'll just become very painful, and we can't kind of find some clever technique to get round them. We've got to look at them. The Dharma isn't a technique to get round that which you're most fearful of. It's a way of directly engaging with it. I used to sort of try and keep these strong forces limited to weekend activity. Which worked up to a point. I used to be a good Buddhist in the week. I lived in the community. I would support classes. Particularly at one point in my life when I was sort of moving away from Dharma practice. The weekend activity would be, I'd be out with my mates and the band and just doing loads of drugs and just drinking loads. There was a few nights where I just did loads of ecstasy on the Friday or Saturday night, and I was sharing a room with someone, and I was so, then that, you know, I didn't, you kind of get to sleep at like 11 in the morning or something like that. But what I do is I had a bit of a sort of painting space down in the cellar of the Buddhist Center, which is right underneath. There's a community Buddhist Center cellar. So what I'd do is I'd spend the day pretending to be painting, sleeping in the cellar. There's this crappy little kind of bit of foam, and I'd just sleep in there. But that's what happens when you don't integrate your demons or try and put them in a certain kind of slot. So, yeah. I don't think anyone in the community knows that, actually. Don't tell them. It's this recording. Okay. Yeah. It's all out, isn't it? Okay. Second to last point, how to work with demons. There's so much to be said here. I'm just barely touching the surface. But the first thing is basically sort of what we've been doing this weekend is just invaluable myth, symbolism, mantra. Particularly integration, mindfulness of breathing, positive emotion, metta bhavana. Experience, I'm just throwing little things out here. Experiencing them in the body, noticing the view associated with them. So noticing the sort of unpleasant vedana, and what's the view there? What's the view behind it that you keep repeating in a way? Talking to friends, sangha, you know, don't just kind of try and work it all in yourself in a sort of, you know, I used to think it was a bit heroic to just try and work on my demons myself, and I suddenly realised it was a lot better to just talk about them to other people, and it just was much more efficient. Not hiding them, acknowledging the presence, and particularly committing yourself to sort of working with these things. So committing yourself, which saying it, I haven't quite done actually, when I think about losing the old foot. I've not committed myself to looking at that, looking what's underneath it. So committing yourself to engaging with them, to working with them with sort of metta and awareness. I find it really helpful is finding a reflection for these troublesome or whatever they are experiences in the outside world. So again, this is what we've been doing with mantra and image, but you know, art, music, any kind of symbolism, I've definitely had it's had a strong effect with me doing it with music and imagery. And there was a couple of songs I was listening to the other day that I hadn't heard since I was like 15 by this Edinburgh band called The Exploited, this punk 1980s punk band, and they're brilliant. But I was listening to these two songs, Son of a Copper and Out of Control, and I was aware that I was still engaging with what I was engaging with when I was 15 years old. There was still some form of energy, but it wasn't like, yeah, fuck you all, I'm going to kind of go and smash things up. There was still that energy there, but it just felt brighter and clearer. But it was just really interesting in a way. But, you know, finding something in the outside world that seems to connect in some way. Obviously, there's more refined ways of doing it than listening to The Exploited. Art, you know, imagery, refined music, all that kind of thing. All the things we're told at work. I'm not sure they all do, but anyway. So finding a bigger myth than self-view to work with them. I think that's the key. It's really important, finding a bigger myth than me, mine, self-view to working with these forces. Okay. Last point. Pretty brief. Just seeing the true nature of the demon. Seeing the true nature. They're impermanent and insubstantial, like all things. So these deeper forces can feel in practice to be more significant than other states of mind. And by that standard, they can seem to define us more. It's like, oh, you know, we've got a view behind them. We've got all this. Can in a lot of the way be sort of baggage attached to some of them, although some of them are more primal and go beyond that in a way. So just seeing that, well, they don't define us. They're not me, they're not mine, they're not self. Yeah, their true nature is just empty and impermanent. But I think it's just noting that in the moment, if there's intense fear present, it feels more significant than if you're just gorming about thinking about something else. And it feels more about me. And this is, you know, oh, I'm experiencing this intense fear. Because there's such a, you know, we so clearly want to get away from fear and strong experiences like that. That in that pushing away, there's a real strong sense of self. When we're mostly provoked, that's when the sense of self is most present. So just being aware of that it's just experience. I know that all sounds very good, me just standing here and saying that. But just trying to reflect on that it's just experience. It's just experience. It's impermanent. It's insubstantial. So bringing Dharma practice to bear on the demons. Okay, that's all I've got to say. So I'll just quickly run through. So it's locating your demons, where to look for signs of demonic activity. Be realistic about what your demons actually are, naming them. Don't discard them because you won't be able to. And try and see the true nature of the demon. Okay, thank you.
So many thanks for that. Yeah, three great talks. I hope it's really expanded our sort of understanding of